Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Hey, church, come on, let's give the Lord a hand real quick. Let's do this. Amen, amen. To our online audience as well, welcome. Welcome to service. I always like to say our online audience or those who are at Bedside Baptist Church. No, I'm grateful for you all who are online, those who are here. I do want to begin this, and we all know what the word says, that any time we come to the house of the Lord, we are to do it with thanks and with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. But I really want to emphasize that, and for those who are watching right now, that right now is the kind of time where we have to be very intentional. You have to search out on purpose gratitude. You got to do it every day. It has to be a practice. I know we're on this series on tension, and we talked about, and Pastor Tyler, you know, you want to talk about leadership being displayed. Right now, any pastor willing to touch politics, willing to touch race, willing to touch finances, that's the real deal. I like to call that, that's real leadership. That ain't hiding. That's being in the face of those things. Why? Because the Bible gives us what we need to do to navigate, to walk through. What I want to talk about today is I'm talking about tension when it comes to the family. Especially, we're getting around the holidays. Come on, y'all. You know, we're like, yeah, the family's together. And then inside, you'd be like, yeah, the family's together, right? but anyhow, I want to make sure we dig in. And there's sometimes, like, this is one of those messages. It's going to be practical. I'm talking about Jesus on family. You know, but how do we overcome tension? How do we deal with that tension, right? How do we not only navigate the tension, but how do we thrive through it? Because tension don't necessarily need to break us. I always say it this way, you know, if you ever want to grow in your muscle and your body, you, at some point, you got to have a little tension. Your muscles need to be under tension for a period of time to grow. It's part of it. Sometimes when people are like, man, our family gets together and it shouldn't be tense. We shouldn't have these problems. I'm like, that's, you know, that, I used to say the same thing when I play football. Like, I'm tired of getting hit. But brother, you play football. Like, that just comes along with it. If you're in a family, tension's going to happen. Dealing with people. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Amen. For I've already overcome the world. In this world, you're going to, you know, Paul says, count it all joy when you face various trials. Count it all joy when you go through tribulation. The key is just to go through tribulation. Don't stay in the middle of it, sit down on the floor and cry about it. Go through it. Go through it and get out of it what God has for you to go through it. And so what I'm going to do right now is, my goal is that we go through this in a practical way. I like to call this is a Sunday morning Bible study. We're about to have a Bible study today. We're going scripture by scripture. So often we're looking to get inspired, okay? But I'm here to tell you, sometimes inspiration is good, but if you're getting whooped, and you bring the team together, it's probably not more inspiration that you need. You're just going to go back out there and make the same mistakes faster with greater intensity. That don't work. You need to be brought together and get redirected. We need some clarity. We need to get back to how the fundamentals work. And so Paul today is going to take us through. It's going to be Romans chapter 12. I'm going to be reading from verse 9 and probably going through around 21. And we're talking about tension of family, but there's three things I'm going to cover today. Ain't complicated, simple words. The first one, and I want you to say it with me, the first one is love. Say love. Love. The second one is bless. Say bless. And the third one is live in peace. Say live in peace. Live in peace. That's the game plan. To deal with the tension in our families, the tension in our church family. Come on, somebody. The tension in just what's around us. We're going to have to love, we're going to have to bless, and we're going to have to live in peace. Now, it is super simple, but I didn't say it was going to be easy because Paul gets real. I'm talking about when Paul's here. I'm talking about he gets so real that we can't even argue. Like, I like to grab those scriptures that we can have, be real subjective about, and did he really mean this or did he mean that? And the reason I like to do that is because if I can do that, then I can justify not doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's what it really meant. So I didn't do it, right? But that's not how Paul brings this message today. So I say it every time. I'm going to ask you to take notes. If you're a note taker, I want you to take notes, okay? And if you're not a note taker, I want you to take notes. And what I want you to write down is not necessarily what you hear me say. I want you to write down, even if it's just one word, what does the Lord bring to mind when something is said? You are exchanging 30 minutes of your life for this. You don't get that 30 minutes back. So please get a return on it. Just make sure you get a return on it, all right? So with that being said, let's jump right into it. That first point, obviously, is love. I'm going to start right here at verse number 9, the first scripture, and we're going to be on it for a little bit. So this first scripture says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Man, I got to stop already. So that means fake love is possible. So I can't just look the part. I can't just act the part. Paul says, no, you need to not pretend to love others. You need to really love them. 1 Corinthians 13, all the different scriptures that it talks about love. Paul's like, don't try to look the part. And that really hits home right now because a lot of our drive isn't really to love another. We just want to look the part. You know, because love, there's a price to love. There's a cost to love. Love has a sacrifice attached to it. And so I'd rather pretend I made a sacrifice than actually make one. And then when it says, just don't pretend to love others, when I first read, I don't know if you guys had this experience, I read a scripture like this, and I'm like, okay, good, that sounds good. And the reason it sounds good is the word others isn't that specific. It's somewhat vague. It's a little general. But I encourage you to put a name in the word other. Somebody who gets on your last nerve. Somebody who you have a real issue with. Somebody you got a real problem. And then read the same scripture again. Don't just pretend to love Steve. Really love him. that just lands differently, right? And then the scripture goes on to say, look at the next one. Hate what is wrong. Now, hate what is wrong. It did not say hate who is wrong. It said hate what is wrong. And we have a tendency to attach the wrong and the person and make them one and the same. And the Bible says to hate what is wrong, not who is wrong. Now, before you start assuming you're always the one who's right and it's the other person wrong, the scripture said hate what is wrong, not necessarily who does it. And more importantly, you know what, I'm with family, I can keep it real. You know what bothers me, and because I'm guilty of it. So I'm saying something that bothers me, but I see it in others, especially us in the church. Selective outrage. Nothing bothers me more, because I'm guilty of it. Selective outrage. That means I hate what is wrong. No, you only hate when they do it. You don't really hate when they do it over here. It don't bother you the same way. Let me make this practical. I can watch a football game, and the commentators may like the quarterback on one, and it's kind of obvious. That quarterback gets to the sideline, grabs his towel, throws it on the ground, kicks his helmet, sits on the sideline, and those announcers will literally say, oh, look at his passion to win. Look at his commitment. Look at his desire. And then there's another guy come to the sideline they ain't a fan of, and he don't throw nothing. You can just say he's in a debate with somebody. He's like, wrong. And they're like, oh, he's a team cancer. That's bad leadership. What? That has nothing to do with that. That's just choosing who you like and who you don't like. Church, let me point something out. The scripture says hate what is wrong. So whoever does it, you're still supposed to hate it, not the person. But that's still wrong. If it was wrong when they did it, why ain't it wrong when they do it? We just like picking the spots. Now, I got to, you know, I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm guilty. I say it all the time. I'm guilty. But here's what I've learned. And I'm going to say to him, please hear me when I tell you that I mean this with all my heart. I ain't scared of none of y'all. At all. There ain't nothing that you can do that scares me more than my fear of God. And I'm going to stand before God. I am. Nobody's next to me. The Bible says every knee shall bow. Every tongue's going to confess. I'm going to stand next to God. Right, I'm right in front of God. And he's going to have the final say of my life. And when he says, I told you to hate what is wrong, I did. No, you were selective on what parts you hated. Either you hated what is wrong, unless you were doing it. Come on, somebody. And then you also hate it wrong based on whether you like the person or not. It wasn't insignificant. You got people in your own family doing the same wrong, but why is it okay for one and not so okay for the other? Now, I told you this message is practical. It's simple, but it's meant to sting. It's meant to create some tension because the goal is to win. And the only way we can actually win is by telling the truth. I said all the time, all the accountability in the world won't cover up a lie. And so we can sing praises, we can sing the word all we want, but the Bible says, do not be just a hearer of the word, be a doer of it. And the question is, do I hate wrong? Not the person, but the wrong. Because if I can separate the two, I can still, like it tells me, I can love, really love them. And at the same time, still have a problem with the action. And they aren't one and the same. That's hard. But you know what makes it become easier? When you realize how wrong you are. And only the grace of God is carrying you in the first place. So all of a sudden it starts to shake us up. This is why I'm looking at Paul. I'm like, man, Paul, this ain't complicated. You're being straight. Look at the next part. Hold tightly to what is good. Verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and to take delight in honoring each other. Now, let me make this practice, especially when we get in our homes, family. And I know the scripture about honoring your mother and father and how we're supposed to honor each other. But there are parts of us, at least for me, maybe you don't have this challenge, where sometimes I worry that honoring is actually enabling. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm going to honor you, but man, you wrong. And I got to honor you without you even acknowledging how wrong you are. What you even caused? What you went off and done? And you don't have to acknowledge it all just because you're older or just because you're wrong. I mean, sometimes the honoring actually feels like enabling. Like there's no, but that's not what's going on. I got to realize that's not what's going on. I'm actually being honorable when even when I have to confront something, I do it God's way. Man, even as believers, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself getting in, even when you want to honor somebody, but even when you want to correct someone, and you want to correct someone, and I tell people all the time, you be careful being real comfortable correcting folks over social media platforms. Like, because that don't really tell me you want to correct somebody. That means you actually want to correct somebody to get an audience and see how many people support what you just said. And there ain't nothing honorable about that because if Jesus made it clear in Matthew, he says, when you have a problem with another person, pick up the phone, go to them, look them face to face. Now you tell them you about something. But if you're trying to do it from a distance and hope how many likes you get to justify your life, your heart ain't even right. You ain't really looking for reconciliation or restoration. Don't even call it that. Now, even before I got saved, even before I get on the holy side, right? I'm telling you, there were some cats just made you nervous. Like anybody who wants to get in a fight and have to tell the whole school about it before a fight, they don't really want to fight. They're like, hey man, me and you after school, you're hollering across the lunchroom. But there was always that one cat who would come to you without an audience and be all calm about it and be like, hey, me and you got a problem. We're going to solve it. Just me and you, no audience. just me and you after school. I'm like, that cat's crazy. I ain't trying to deal with him. He's literally trying to solve this problem and don't need an audience with it. That's uncomfortable, right? But I got to tell you, God, think about what the Bible says in so many places. Look, certain things you do in secret. Certain things you do individually, one-on-one. That shows real concern and real compassion. I don't need an audience to know about it. I went right to you in an honorable way. Not even attempting for you to lose face, but it's not okay for me not to confront it. But the way I confront it is what's honorable. It's just making sense. This is where sometimes we get confused. We think when I'm honoring and making and loving in spite of that, I'm just saying what you just did is totally acceptable. No. There's people getting together right now during the holidays. And here, let's be honest, you're going to be honorable. You're going to be enjoyable. But you know, if you guys, if history tells you, we all good, but about an hour and a half into it, all hell breaks loose. So me and my family are going to decide we're going to leave at 60 minutes. We're going to have the greatest time ever. But at the 60-minute mark, we out. And we're going to do it in a loving, honorable way, but we ain't going to stay for the extra 30 minutes that can lead into total disaster. That's still honoring, and I call that wisdom, right? Now, sometimes us church folk, we get corny, like we know that's true. My trust is in the Lord. My trust ain't really in your ability to go longer than 90 minutes being okay. There ain't nothing complicated about that, right? Now, I'm having a little fun with it, but this is what I want you all to grasp. When Paul is talking to us, he's being real practical with it. Look what it says goes on. Okay, so I talked about how important it is. Look at when he says delight in honoring each other. Now I want to move from love to the next point, which is bless. Say bless with me. Okay, so point number two, in order to deal with this tension, overcome the tension in the family, tension in life, is to bless. Look at verse 14. Now, it's simple. We all know the word bless, but there's so much subtle power in this detail. Right here, look at verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you. I'm not speeding past that. Let that sit. Let that land in your spirit right now. Bless those who persecute you. I'm comfortable with bless those who bless you, but bless those who persecute me? Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Seriously, Paul? And there's a period. I understand if he added a question like, pray that God will bless them? There ain't no question that mark at the end of that. That's a statement. And the question is, be honest now. This isn't a personal evaluation. How frequently or lately, how have you prayed that? I got to tell you, it can be even hard in my own house. If I ain't happy with my wife, I ain't seeing on my knees, Lord, please bless Cindy right now. I'm usually, Lord, please change Cindy right now. Right. We're quick to pray that God will change them. He didn't say that. He said, you need to pray that God will bless them. That is powerful and challenging. Hear me, all believers. The act of doing that is one of the ultimate expressions of faith, because nothing in you wants to. You are submitting your feelings and making them secondary to obedience. And Jesus says, if you love me, then you will obey me. Do you see how practical this is? All of a sudden, I just need to be inspired. I need to be motivated. No, you need to be obedient. And you'll be amazed at what follows. But God is going to do miracles in our lives. But what we sometimes forget is he does it in his manner, in his way. And the more I actually say the name of the person who's persecuted me and I ask God to bless them, over time, my feeling towards them changes. And the fight I got to do is the lies of the enemy that tells me in my heart that I'm letting them off the hook. And the question comes down to, for all of us to make, who you going to believe? You going to believe God, his word? Or you going, oh, it's easy for Paul to say, is it? From what I know, Paul wrote most of this in prison and doing nothing wrong. And we have the audacity to compare our situation to his. You know we're quick to do that. And the reality is the word works. Look what it says. Pray that God will bless him. Verse 15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who will weep. This is another way that we change the tension, how we intention our faith. Man, I'm going to be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who will weep. Now, the first time I looked at this, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, man, weeping with those who weep, that seems that can be a challenge. No, here's what I discovered. That's a far easier. Weeping with those who weep, hurting with those who hurt. I have a tendency to naturally be drawn to those who are going through difficulty because it caused me to think about my own difficulty. So it draws us together. Let me tell you what's hard. Being happy with those who are happy, especially when my circumstances ain't happy. Amen. It is hard to find joy and to be happy and to see the blessings that happen in people's lives without at the same time trying to look at mine and kind of having a comparison going, oh. And this is what Paul is talking about. This is, not only is this maturity, but this is what we call to be salt of the earth. We're able to, when Paul says, I've learned how to be abased and abounding. In every circumstance, I've learned. Now, everybody loves the scripture, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. They just don't like the scriptures that lead up to it. He wasn't talking about, oh, I can accomplish every one of my goals through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. He was talking about, I can endure hardship because of Christ who strengthens me. I can deal with every circumstance because of Christ who strengthens me. Now, I know this is me right here. I know this is equipping all of us in this room. None of this is confusing. It's just tough because we got to decide whether we're going to do it or not. That's where it gets real. But look what he says right here. It says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Woo, that's good. And don't think you know it all. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Y'all, I'm just going to be honest with my family here. Y'all family, you know, I can tell you the truth. There's times where, you know what, I sometimes just overestimate my level of intelligence. I often believe I'm just smarter than the most of the people I'm around. Being honest, I'm just being honest. That goes in me. I got to work on that, right? I'm just being honest. Sometimes we don't, you know, I'm just being dead honest with you. And so what happens is, it's not only do I think I know more, it moves from thinking I know more to levels of arrogance. And not only is arrogance dangerous, arrogance is foolish. It's extremely foolish. First of all, I won't call it stupid. That's what I want to say, and I said it anyways, but I won't call it stupid, but I had a coach used to say, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just calling you skinny brain. That means just that part of your brain ain't fully developed yet, and it's still getting stronger. And so when I would become arrogant, I start realizing how foolish it is. This is why it's foolish. I can be the most arrogant person walking around swollen with pride, all this stuff. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. Some of those that you can, it's by the grace of God that you even wake up tomorrow. Yeah, oh, I'm arrogant talking about as if I know what's going to happen. Did anybody see 2020 coming like this? No. I mean, life, problems, challenges will humble you so quick. When the Bible says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do not be on the wrong side of that. And the fact that I can walk in a room and assume I know so much more than everybody else in the room, like I'm smart, like my experience, like new information, it is amazing how we can actually function, walk into a place and not be curious because we know it all already. Are you kidding me? We know this much of nothing. Yet that's how we function. There's a reason the Bible says very clearly, God is amazing. Because some of us, I know me, I couldn't have been God. Because I'd be looking around going, you got some nerve, and you got some nerve, and you got some nerve. Because Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it so simply. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Have you ever asked yourself why? It's because you don't got enough information to rely on your own understanding. You don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. You're working on such small, and God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, says, I got your life. And I look at him and say, no, you don't. I got this. That can't even be called arrogant. That's about as foolish as anybody can ever be. Yet we do this every single day. So Paul says it best. He goes, don't think you know it all because you don't. The last point is live in peace. And it starts at verse 17, and this is big. It says, live in peace, right? Verse 17 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Oof. See, you want to go to the next word, but you can't, because if you do it too fast, you miss what he just said. He said, never pay back evil with more evil. He didn't say when it's justified. He didn't even give a criteria. He used the word never. Never pay back evil with more evil. That's hard. I'm telling you right now, paying back evil with more evil feels good. There are times when I just imagine what it's going to be like when this thing comes back around, and I'm going to let that, just wait. Can't wait. Not only will I get caught up in that, I actually like ordain it by God. Like I'll set up the scenario and then pray that God would do the very revenge I'm working out in my head. And the most important thing is he lets me participate in it. And then Paul breaks out right here and says, never pay back evil with more evil, but do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Give me a few minutes here, y'all. The scripture says, do everything that you can do to live in peace with everyone. Do all that you can. Do all that you can. You are held responsible when you do all that you can. God isn't holding you accountable to their response. He's holding you accountable to your response. We are responsible. I am responsible to you. You are responsible to those around you, but you are not responsible for them. There's a difference. I'm responsible to you, but not for you. I am responsible doing everything I can to live in peace. When I walk in my house, in my family, I am either a thermostat or a thermometer. And too many of us are walking in our house functioning like thermometers, just telling the temperature, but having no impact on it. That ain't what's going on. God has put in us the very thing we need to adjust the temperature. There may be tension around you, but that tension don't need to be in you. And he's made it clear right here. You do everything you can to live in peace. Now, quick little point. When it comes to families, there are far too many families thinking they're keeping the peace. You're not keeping the peace. You're just avoiding the conversation. That ain't peace. That's passivity. You ain't keeping no peace. You act like God can't solve that. God wants to fix that, but you have to face that. And you can do it in a real, honorable, loving fashion to do it. And you're like, well, but what if they go? Yeah, what if they do? But the bottom line is, don't confuse fake peace. You've made peace an idol, and it's not even real. God wants to use you. He wants to restore. He wants to make it healthy. But he does that by using you. So you do everything to live in peace. And remember, the peace that he gives you is a peace that surpasses all understanding. The scripture says, he who keeps his mind staying on thee shall be in perfect peace. That means chaos can be happening everywhere. But my mind is staying on Jesus and what he said he will do. So you can act a fool, but for some reason there's a calmness to me. And this is why I understand why. Look at verse 19 through 21, and I close here. It says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. No evil will escape God's eyes. He got you covered. The reason you're smiling isn't because somebody got away with something. I'm smiling because the God of the universe got me. He got us. He has his family. And I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not going to get thrown off just because we had a little skirmish or some other issue. That's pretty consistent. But what I am going to trust is what he said he's going to do. And that's going to influence how I behave as I sit here. He finishes it off right here. Instead, if your enemies, if that cousin of yours, if your sibling, if your parent is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. But your goodness and your joy in doing this, that's what heaps burning coals of shame on their heads, not returning evil for evil. Anytime we return evil for evil, we just justify whatever behavior they think they're doing. But when you return good for evil, well, have you ever done somebody wrong, but they keep doing good by you? It's painful. Over time, it starts to, I mean, you actually have to create stories in your head to find different justifications for the behavior, right? Because there's no way I can actually be this bad. But trust God. Stay doing it. And watch what God starts to redirect in their lives. Church is simple. We love. We bless. We live in peace. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this practical, simple word. It's simple, but it's powerful. Lord, you said we are not just hearers of the word, but we're doers. So will you equip us to apply what we just heard, line upon line, precept upon precept. Your word even tells us don't despise small beginnings. So what that simply means is, Lord, we just need to start it. And every single time we do it again, it creates greater momentum. Lord, let us see you in our obedience. You always respond to obedience. So Lord, thank you for equipping us right what we need. I speak this right now. I believe, I profess this, that for many of us in this room, this is going to be one of the greatest family experiences we have. In the midst of this chaos of 2020, you're going to give us so much joy in the midst of it, Lord God. And it's going to be the things that can't be taken away, which is that love and that care that we have amongst family members. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the whole church say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Josiah.
Come on. So good. Thank you, Pastor Eric, for this whole weekend from Thursday to here. It gets better and better every time. Like, that was a word full of conviction. So thank you for speaking and imparting into the life of Life Center. Thank you. My name is Josiah. I'm part of the team here, one of our youth pastors. I love how practical that message was, how simple, but it's not easy to live out. And so if you're interested and you're like, hey, I want to actually apply this, I want to actually live this out, we have opportunity for you. It's called our Next Steps. So if you want to get your phone out, open your Life Center app, click that Next Steps card. The first next step is this. If it's your first time here and you haven't said yes to Jesus, or maybe you're watching online and you haven't said yes to Jesus, giving your life to him, we want to give you that opportunity to say yes to this man who died for you. Yes to this man who has forgiven your sins, past, present, and future, by dying on the cross for all of humanity. If you want to say yes to him, that unconditional love, that grace of God, you want to say yes to that, we want you to click that little button right there. Why? Because we're not just passionate about you saying yes to Jesus right here in this moment, but every single day walking in faith with you on this journey of knowing him. The second one is this, to bless those around you. If you believe that's your next step, blessing those in your family, blessing those who persecute you, really loving people, like all that real, that part of the message, right? If that's you, want you to click that next step. And the last one is to live in peace, to do all that you can to live in peace. If you feel like that's your next step this week, whether it's within your family, the people around you at work, that you feel challenged, like called by God to say, okay, I want to live in peace this week. With everything within me, I want to do my best. You can click that next step. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you for that powerful message by Pastor Eric. God, we pray that this week, God, that we would go in faith, God, not on our own strength, our own power, God, but to bless those who persecute us, God, to live in peace, God, with everything within us, God, to be Jesus to people, to be the church to people this week. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.